folks complain that the Tigrayans are diverting this wealth that's being created much more to their own ethnic group as opposed to other ethnic groups, and they are upset about that.
Thanks for tuning in to the Harambe Today podcast. This is episode 7 of our series exploring ethnic conflict in Ethiopia. Check out the show notes for more background information on the people featured in this episode. That voice we heard earlier belongs to Dr. Edmund Keller. He's a longtime observer of Ethiopian politics. Tigrayans are often targeted in Ethiopian politics because of the popular perception that they benefit more from the political system than other ethnic groups. There is no publicly available data about the ethnic makeup of government or military-held positions, but the information we hear in this episode reflect popular opinion about the ethnic composition. So are Tigrayans benefiting more than others?
It's not easy to answer that question because...
That's Dr. Ezekiel Gabisa.
The TPLF deliberately accrues some benefit to the Tigray region. So they create a Tigrayan middle class, as they say. So they try to do that. But that doesn't mean that the Tigrayan people themselves are beneficiaries, direct beneficiaries of this. They are not, actually. But the other thing is that in other areas of Ethiopia, like the Oromia region, investment opportunities, Tigrayan individuals who are associated with the TPLF, not because they're Tigrayans, but because they are members of the TPLF, they give them land, investment opportunities, land in other regions of Ethiopia. They are favored. That's why we call it dominant. They get ministerial posts. 95% of the commanding generals in the army are Tigrayans. 97% of the commanding officers in the security forces are Tigrayans. Do Tigrayans benefit? Yes. Just like white people benefit in this country because they are white.
The country he's referring to is the U.S.
Is there an institutional discrimination in this country? You bet. Is it as rife as it was in the past? Probably not. It is the same thing in Tigray. Being a Tigrayan benefits you in many ways. If you are a Tigrayan, you go and apply for a license, and the same person applies for the same license from another region, an Oromo, it is likely that the Tigrayan would get it because the one that decides who gets that license is likely to be Tigrayan. Because they control the administrative mechanism of the country, they do favor Tigrayans. But that doesn't mean that Tigrayans are, as a people, the 6% that they constitute are direct beneficiaries of TPLF dominance.
This generalization is not possible because...
That's Dr. Asababa Ragasa DeBello.
Under the imperial regime, for example, the state was symbolized as if it was the state of the Amhara. But that didn't mean the ordinary Amhara peasants were beneficiaries from that. But one thing which was true even during that period under the imperial regime, for example, was the Amhara benefited a kind of psychological makeup, although they were not beneficiaries economically and politically. In any society, particularly wherever ethnicity becomes part of the politics, people who belong to that ethnic group that is in the government would be psychologically empowered. That is a kind of natural reality. Then in a politics where ethnicity becomes also the defining feature of the system, then the bureaucracy also would favor such group affiliations one way or another, whether into political representation or economic access to resources or whatsoever. But people who are involved in the business, for example, might benefit from such system in a very general level. But the ordinary society, it is not so easy to say that the politics at the national level easily trickles down to the grassroots level, ordinary people, and then makes a general or a very clear distinction between the peasants in Tigray and the peasants in South Oromia or wherever. So, I mean, there is a kind of psychological advantage that it provides. There is a such bureaucratic advantage that it might provide for those in the business, those in the bureaucracy whatsoever, but not for the peasantry, not for the poor. In the rural areas in Tigray, the peasants' lack of different social services and other provisions as other parts of Ethiopia.
Those people who actually accuse the Tigrayans that they are taking the benefit from other places and they are underdeveloping, others developing, and they are not right. It's not. I've seen it myself, clearly, no doubt.
That's Dr. Paulos Milkias.
So, you see, the only thing you can say is that, yeah, you know, a lot of the money, it comes from those areas, especially from Oromia, in the south, southern nations and nationalities, and is also distributed to Tigray. But I have no opposition to that, as long as they don't do more for Tigray and less for the rest of them. As I saw all of them, Mekele in Tigray, as it was developed. I saw Bahar Dar also highly developed. It is in Amhara and Bishoftu and Nazareth or Adama in Oromia, as developed, highly developed in the south, Awasa developed and so on. And electricity is actually distributed all over the places. They are now building railroads, okay, connecting all of them.
You know, anybody can go to Tigray and then they can see for themselves how the people of Tigray live.
That's Dr. Weldu Weldeyesus.
One reason that people have been saying this, that Tigray has been benefiting more, is because of the endowments. After the Derg, the military government, was overthrown, TPLF had a huge financial capital. So they said that the money that the TPLF had in its reserves, what should be done with it? So they said that one way is sharing among members of the TPLF troops or fighters. Another way would be to create some kind of endowment fund so that they would be able to set up some major factories that won't be done by private investors. So two of these, which were done with multi-billion birr, were the Mosobo cement factory and the Adigrat pharmaceuticals factory. So private investors cannot be involved. Why? Because these are done in billions of birr. At that time, there would be no private investors who would invest in billions of birr, which means hundreds of millions of dollars. So the Mosobo was created, the Adigrat Pharmaceuticals was created, the Almeda textile factory in Adwa was created, another marble factory in Adwa. So lots of factories and businesses in special areas were created. So when somebody, a private investor, wants to, let's say, involve in transportation, the Trans-Ethiopia would easily win. Why? They belong to the endowment fund. So these institutions would kill private investors. So in terms of the people of Tigray, the only contribution that they would have is creating employment for thousands of people. So the total that they have hired might be, I don't know, maybe 20,000 people. So out of 6 million people, if 20,000 people were got jobs, so what does it mean? It doesn't mean anything. So the only thing that people of Tigray benefited out of this is, just like any other Ethiopian regional states, they have peace. In fact, they are on the border with Eritrea, and the no peace, no war had impacted the people of Tigray. The tension in the region doesn't impact the Oromos or the Amharas directly. It impacts the people of Tigray directly. The best thing is to go and see how the people of Tigray live. You know, other farmers in other areas, they have fertile land and they are able to grow and then reap fruits of their labor. But in Tigray, there are only few places which are good for farming. The other areas, they have been eroded for generations because that it is mountainous, that had its own impact. So the best thing for people to do is to go to Tigray and see for themselves what things look like. During the 2005 national elections, the city of Addis Ababa was controlled by the coalition opposition political party. There was no one seat that was won by the EPRDF. You see that a lot of opposition political parties from all the regions won seats in the federal parliament as well as in the regional government. What about in Tigray? Not a single candidate from the opposition won for the federal government as well as for the state government. Why? Because the TPLF has full control. And then, if that is the case, I don't think there would be any hope in the near future for any opposition political parties to win. Why? Because the TPLF has made a very strong connection between the party and the people. They say that the TPLF means the people of Tigray and the people of Tigray mean TPLF, which is very sad. Because the TPLF should have functioned as a political party and should have allowed free elections that would enable opposition political parties to have free movement, the opportunity to have peaceful demonstration and things like that. But that's not the case. So that's why it would need a lot of time for the Tigrayan people to make a clear distinction between the TPLF and the people of Tigray.
In everyday politics, where there is no conflict and there is no rallies or whatsoever, then people would say, okay, this is a government which is doing something bad. But
that's Dr. DeBello.
Whenever there are some attacks, for example, if the security or the military is doing something against the ordinary people in Oromia, in Amhara, or whatsoever, and if the people in Tigray are not condemning us, or even those Tigrayans who live in Oromia or in Amhara, if they are not saying anything, if they either sympathize with the government or if they are indifferent, then there is a tendency that people would say, okay, the party and the people are the same. So what I'm saying is it is contextual. We can't generalize, but we should see case by case in such category.
In the current riots and protests, there was an attempt made to target Tigrinya-speaking people in various areas because of the lies that these people are disseminating. Why should innocent Tigrayans be targeted in Oromia? Why should innocent Tigrayans be evicted from places that they considered homes for generations? They don't even know any place in Tigray. They were born and raised not only during their lifetime, but even during their parents' time. Their grandparents moved there, and their parents were born and raised there, and the third generation was born and raised there. But people said that these are Tigrayans, so they should either be killed or they should be evicted. Sometimes they would burn their houses and they don't have anywhere to go. So a lot of Tigrayans were evicted from Gondar and they didn't have any option but to cross the border and stay in Sudan. Some of them had to go to Tigray. So such kinds of things were done only because of those false news aired and disseminated by the vocal diaspora, who are extremely, extremely hateful of the EPRDF, but they want the TPLF to be singled out. And I know that there is the democracy in Tigray is not the same as the democracy you see in other parts of Ethiopia. Anyone who does this in Tigray would not only be targeted by the society, would be completely rejected by society, but the police force in Tigray would also be heavy-handed in dealing with such kinds of things. You see riots throughout many parts in Ethiopia, but you don't see any riots in Tigray.
Absolutely. There is a way to fix it. There is definitely a way to fix it. And I think it is very, very much going to be fixed at some point. One is, you know, that we have an orderly transition. One is we have a free and fair election, right?
That's Dr. Johannes Gedamo.
It is just one reality. The Oromos and the Amharas are not united against Tigrayans. The Oromos and the Amharas are united against the regime in political power. Still, that's what we have as a trend. In the Derg regime, right? The Eritreans or the Tigrayans or the Oromos were not against the Amharas or the, you know, other ethnic groups, right? They were against the regime. And to this day, what we have is that. So in the Derg regime, the Amharas also fought the regime together with everybody. Today, what is different is every Ethiopian fought against the regime in the Derg regime, in the Haile Selassie regime. Right now, everybody is fighting against the regime except the Tigrayans. Right? So that somehow causes a problem in the Ethiopians' perception of the Tigrayan brothers and sisters.
So do you feel like they should be doing more, they should be saying more?
Sweet. Because I really believe, whether you believe it or not, I believe that Tigrayans are oppressed too. Because they are made to believe that whatever TPLF is working is just for them or to their benefit. But it's not to their benefit. They will be suffering from some of the consequences. And that will not be good. Because if, you know, given how the things are going, right? That will not be good. And what we need to do is to make sure that nothing really happens that will bring an ethnic group against another ethnic group in Ethiopia. And for that, we need to recognize that, you know, a region comes, a region goes. But what we remain are with the people in the country and the land. And we have to be able to learn and come up with a way that we can basically coexist and survive and thrive and just live forever that way. So whether a regime with a Tigrayan domination or an Amhara or a Oromo domination comes, that's not going to be an issue. What's going to be an issue is that if we really take ownership of a given region, no one should take ownership of a given region. What really needs to happen is making sure that we have a democratic framework. So Oromos and Amharas as a majority, and they have to feel that majority status. But feeling a majority status does not also mean bringing a majority like oppression against the minorities. If that's the case, I'm going to be the first to be speaking against that, right? Because we are trying to, you know, do away with a minority dictatorship, right? And if we, you know, get rid of that and replace it with a majority's tyranny, that's going to be very, very bad. So what we need to have is a democratic system, and even a Tigrayan could become a prime minister under that system, right? As long as that system is free, fair, and democratic. And I think Ethiopia is able to do that. And I think all Ethiopians understand that is going to be, that should be the way. And all other African states have done it. The Ghanaians have done it. The Benin, the Senegalese, right? The Botswanas, they have all done it. And, you know, there is no way. I mean, even the Nigerians have really gotten better out at it, right? And we can do the same. Why not?
Unfortunately, the political situation has created such a schism that our community have not been able to come together.
That's Deacon Yosef Tefere.
I hope someday we can, because I find the Tigrayan people still very essential and part of Ethiopia. And I cannot imagine of Ethiopia without Tigrayans. And Tigrayans are Ethiopians. And however, the situation has really gotten to the point that the government has really collateralized the whole ethnic group of Tigray, and that they have made it implicit that they cannot join the rest of the Ethiopian community. And there was an incident that happened 20 years ago, which I was part of. And that was actually one of the reasons I got more involved with the church. We had a St. Mary church that we established that didn't have also the Tigrayans along with us. By the way, Tigrayans are very deeply religious people, and so they take their faith very seriously. And so we had a church, and we worshiped together, and we had communion together. But the government, as soon as they took over power, because they removed the legitimate patriarch, issue came up. And basically, they chased us out of the very church that we formed and worshiped together. But we did well. The Lord blessed us, and we moved on and became almost a center of our community. As a result, I hate to admit it, that we have not been able to establish a dialogue and a communication to benefit both communities. But I hope soon this will change. I see a change in the way of reflection that many Tigrayans are recently looking at this, that this is not sustainable. You know, if this continues, it can lead into a major conflict, not here, but in Ethiopia. And so Ethiopians also want to reach out to them. So I really think that this peaceful negotiation that hopefully will be formed in Ethiopia for transition system may also give us a transition for us here in diaspora to come together as one people someday. I hope to see that day. So I hope it changes for their benefit and for us, and so Ethiopia can really go into more a healing process.
You know, whenever I get the opportunity, I always engage anybody from any political affiliation. Because some people, they develop that kind of negativity because of lack of information. Some people, I know that they do it purposely, and then even if you engage in any kind of dialogue, they would change their mind, and that is their right. I would respect their right. But with regard to dialogue, I would be willing to discuss or to engage in dialogue with anybody. It shouldn't be somebody who would like to fight physically. As far as it is somebody who would like to engage in dialogue, I don't have any problem, because that would be the only solution to any problem politically triggered in our country. Dialogue is the only solution. So I would be very much interested to engage.